As always, every fortnight, it's lovely to welcome Danny Valente to Afternoons, food writer, cook and self-professed eater.
Very professional at eating.
Aren't we all? I love it. Chestnuts, Danny, is our topic today. Now, I'm going to go as far as saying I'm not sure if I've ever eaten a chestnut.
Well, I'm shocked.
I might have, like, in a little muesli or something.
Oh, no, you'd know if you've eaten one. They're delicious.
I haven't sat down to, you know, I haven't bought a bag of roasted chestnuts from the dude on the street in the city. I haven't.
You haven't ever sat around the table peeling chestnuts and chatting?
No, I haven't had that romantic moment. Are they as hard work as they appear?
They are not an easy food. You do have to do a little bit of work, but I think they're worth it. And growers are bringing out easier to peel varieties. They say easy peel. I'll go as far as to say easier to peel. So there are some, they're definitely not as hard as they used to be.
Well, I was saying that they looked a little bit spiky, but this text saying, Rochelle, the outside is the hairy part. Their smooth brown nut is how it's sold.
Correct. Yeah. So the burrs, the spiky bits, they're taken off at the farm, so you never have to encounter those. So you don't have that sea urchin experience that you were slightly alarmed about. So that's dealt with at the farm. So those people who are harvesting them definitely need like double layer gloves and so that's hard work. The part that we've got to deal with is the shell of the nut and then the inner pellicle or membrane. So there are two layers that you need to get off before you get to that beautiful creamy chestnut flesh.
So how do they look when you buy them?
They look like shiny brown nuts. And, you know, if they've got quite a hard shell, if you tapped it on something, it would make a rapping sound. But once you put a little slit in them and roast them, you can steam them, you can boil them, that skin will start to peel back. And then you've pretty much got to get in there with your fingers. And the tricky part is you've got to do it while they're still hot.
Ooh. I'm sensing accident.
To peel. And look, honestly, there's nothing as satisfying as peeling a chestnut. Because
really? That's a big call, Danny Valente.
Okay, at this time of year when I'm thinking culinary, I'm thinking
where my life is at.
Yeah, I love them. And, you know, in Victoria and in Victoria's beautiful high country, that's where we grow most Australian chestnuts. 75% of our chestnuts come from there. And I think we should, you know, honour this great local produce as well.
Some great chestnut ideas coming in. Ladies, I am slow roasting a pork roast with chestnut, figs and apple.
That is so super seasonal. I just absolutely love it. So you get the figs, the apples, the chestnuts, they're all around right now. And chestnut and pork and apple and pork, very, very good culinary friends.
Chestnut soup, so yummy, but way too much effort.
It is a lot of work. So a kilo of chestnuts, you get about 600 grams of chestnut flesh, and it is a project. It's the kind of thing you'd love to be listening to the radio while you're peeling your chestnuts, that kind of thing. You can buy pre-peeled chestnuts as well, so sort of vac-packed, and they're available throughout the year. It does make it a lot easier. Does it have the romance? I don't know. But do you get to your soup faster? Absolutely yes.
That's when the romance comes in. This question, though, saying, is the chestnut actually a nut?
Yeah, so there's nuts and there's drupes, which is a different category, D-R-U-P-E-S. Look, my brief amount of research on this, because I'm more about the eating than the botanicals, is yes, they're a nut. If you're allergic to tree nuts, you want to be careful of chestnuts, so they do fall into that category.
Do you know who will know? It's Christine, because she's a chestnut farmer. Hi, Christine.
Christine knows everything there is to know about.
Fantastic.
She's been doing that hard work that Danny's talking about for 14 years, and is just wiping away a tear that someone has recognised how hard it is to be the farmer's heart.
Oh, I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
So where did your love of chestnuts come from? What made you 14 years ago, Christine, say, I'm going to become a chestnut farmer?
Well, we're a bit accidental chestnut farmers. My love comes from being Northern Italian and then finding a lovely little weekender in near Daylesford. So it just all came together for me. Now it's a bit of a blurry past vision when I think, why did I do this? But we are making a whole lot of people happy at this time of year. So the picking's nearly finished. The happiness is kicking in for everyone, including me, who doesn't have to be on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day or so.
And what's your favourite chestnut recipe, Christine?
Well, you know, in recent years, we've had more and more Chinese and Vietnamese customers. They've found us, and they have been adding to my repertoire, which is not a small repertoire of recipes, but to do them with mushrooms and Brussels sprouts and more of a stir-fry, let's say, angle to it, has now become a bit of a staple for us. They're quicker and easier recipes than turning them into soups and purees and flour. Flour is big, especially in Eastern Europe, to make cakes with. But, yeah, I'm not going to be fast doing that, and not many other people either.
Well, there's some great – thank you, Christine, for clear. And, yeah, so the chestnut is a nut. We can confirm that, can't we?
We can. So I have to say, my research, and I'm a researcher the rest of the time, says you're about as likely to be allergic to chestnuts as you are to pineapple. And no one seems to get too het up about whether touching a pineapple or being near a pineapple is going to make their life difficult. So we've thought there's really very few people who are. I know you might think I would say that, wouldn't I? But compared to peanuts and other nuts and tree nuts, very little problem. In fact, we're able to sell them even through my child's school. And they have an anti-nut policy. So it's not as bad as all that, and you don't need to stay quite as far away. We think of them more as a carbohydrate than a nut. They're more like a grain and tasting more like a much more interesting, slightly sweet potato sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, well, they are starchy like potatoes. And in Europe, before the potato landed, chestnuts were, you know, a very common starch, very commonly seen there.
Thank you, Christine. Happy farming. Ladies, chestnut, bacon and Brussels sprouts are on the menu for tonight's dinner. We shall be there at about 6:45. However, best chestnut story. Me and my beloved roasting chestnuts for the first time in our early 20s failed to pierce the shell. They started exploding. My memory is seared by the hilarious image of himself slowly opening the oven door whilst using the lid of the pre-wheelie bin rubbish bin lid as a shield. Special night in shining armour moment. That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, you'd need to give a hole for the steam to come out before you cook your chestnuts because the pressure will build up inside there. So there's a lot of debate about, you know, which side do you slit on? Do you do a slit? Do you do a cross? Do you do it on the underside? Do you do it on the tip? But I think any way that you let that steam out is a good way. And make it easy to peel.
Well, this says it's not difficult to roast chestnuts. Pinch a little hole or punch a little hole on the nut with a pointy knife, then roast them on a cast iron or thick base steel pan on medium heat for about 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Then cook when the shell comes loose. They're easy to crack. Make sure that the shell is charred. That's from Tam. Mm,
get that beautiful smoky flavour through the chestnuts if you let it go nice and black as well.
So what if you're buying them pre-roasted, if you're out at a street vendor,
yeah,
you know, how do you know that they're fresh and what should you look for then?
You don't until you taste them because a rancid chestnut is not a nice thing. But if they're selling them at this time of year, then they're going to be fresh. They're going to be from most likely from the high country. And, they're local, they're fresh, and they'll be delicious.
Other food that's hard work but worth it because chestnuts, you know, let's face it, they are high maintenance, but it's worth it at the end. Rochelle and Danny, quince paste. It takes hours and hours of stirring, but then you have years of happiness and supply. And then this text is just one word that says artichokes.
I was going to say artichokes as well, but don't you think there's something so nice, and I put chestnuts and artichokes in this category where, yes, you don't get much out of them, but there is something very social about sitting around a table and sharing food like that with friends. And, of course, you don't get full quickly because it is so much work and there's not that much payoff. The payoff is good, but there's not that much of it. But it means you get to sit around and have that social aspect of sitting around the table for longer, and I love that.
I've never bought an artichoke either because I look at it and I go, you know, I want to be that person that buys an artichoke and cooks it from scratch, but I'm just not. I wouldn't know where to start. It'd be a disaster and we'd end up having to order pizza. So
There'd be no disaster. It's not that hard. Just get them in a pot of water, melt some butter, put some spices in it, a little bit of salt, butter.
You have to get rid of the outside, the layers.
Yeah, you know.
It's not that hard.
It's honestly not that hard.
Food that's hard work but worth it. Cameron, you have a soup that's worth all of the hard work.
Certainly do. I'm a Tassie boy originally, and we, of course, used to have a bounty of seafood at our doorstep. So we used to go diving for crayfish and abalone and mussels and oysters, and used to spend hours with my mother making bouillabaisse.
There's a lot of work there. I mean, purely just getting all of the, you know, the shellfish removed is work within itself, isn't it?
Yeah, we used to catch it all ourselves too, so it's just, probably a weekend, but it was just, I still remember it was my actually drooling.
Oh, I think we've lost Cameron there, but that's a very good example. Danny and Rochelle, I just love chestnuts. My husband and I make chestnut soup with a good splash of fine sherry. We have a great system. He boils and scores the warm chestnuts, and then we peel them in small batches. It's a labour of love, but we do it slowly over an afternoon, perhaps while watching the footy and enjoying a little sherry. That's from Zoe in Pascal.
What a beautiful image that is, especially if your team's winning. That's great.
Otherwise, the chestnuts get piffed around the room.
That's it.
You find chestnuts at the back of the couch a little later on. Food that's hard work but worth it. Meg.
Hi. Girls, and I concur with everybody, what everybody said. Also, there's a beautiful dessert called Mont Blanc, which is chestnut puree, chocolate and cream. Very French. But I'm a great fan of cassoulet. Cassoulet takes about 5 days to make, and you've got to make a confit of duck, and you've got to, you know, marinate the pork belly and marinate the... It's just a ridiculous amount of work. But, Danny, have you had it?
Oh, yes. I am a big fan. And the thing is, yes, it takes 5 days to make, but then you're full for 5 days once you've eaten it. So yes. The kind of payoff is there.
But one of the things that we did recently, we actually had a surprise 70th birthday for party lunch for a very close friend. And we actually made our own Toulouse sausage. And
next level.
Yeah. We did the lot. And we had about 20 people and we served cassoulet. I tell you what, they were all lying on the floor afterwards. They were in heaven.
Well, that's something that though everyone, those 20 people, you know, they've taken that food memory with them as well. I mean, that's fantastic.
And that is what a great present to give somebody, like really honouring them in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, it was a kind of unforgettable day. And then I did pears in red wine with quince sorbet afterwards, and everybody sort of went home in a food coma.
I bet they did. I'll let you know when my birthday's coming
up. Absolutely. Meg, that's such a great story. Ladies, I remember walking along the streets in London at 4:30. It was already dark with chestnut vendors on the side of the path. That's Janet from Malvern. I steam them. Chestnuts, that is. I cut them in half. I steam them for 29 minutes. Scoop out the flesh with a teaspoon whilst hot. Quick and easy, no peeling. That's from Peter.
You know what? I haven't tried that, but I reckon that sounds like a brilliant idea.
Danny Valenta's with you. We're talking about chestnuts and we're talking about food that's, you know, a little high maintenance but worth every second. Hard work food, but it's great. Are there different varieties of chestnuts, Danny?
Yeah, definitely there are. And it's interesting. It's like neither here nor in Europe are chestnuts often sold by variety, but there are different ones, certainly different sizes. And the ones that are coming out now are definitely easier to peel. If you can choose chestnuts by variety, ask for Dacopi Moroni, which is quite an easy to peel variety, and Purton's Pride, which is a later season one and very sweet, also quite easy to peel.
A few people talking about chestnut mash. So you're going to need a lot of chestnuts. So you're going to need an afternoon and a few friends and some patience. But what do you serve? You know, what sort of protein would you serve with a chestnut mash?
Chestnuts love pork, so pork chops would be absolutely beautiful. You can also extend your chestnut mash a little bit with potatoes, so maybe a little bit of a cheat. But,
what sort of ratio are you talking about there?
As many chestnuts as you can be bothered to peel to a couple of potatoes. So beautiful with pork. Again, with grilled apple and pork would be absolutely delicious. Sausages, so beautiful. So any of those sort of richer, wintry flavours, absolutely yummy.
Hard work but worth it is ravioli filled with chicken, spinach and ricotta in a homemade stock. That's from Karen. Billy, you're a chestnut fan.
I certainly am.
What do you make?
We have a South Indian cafe in Belgrade, and every year we cook at the Kalorama Chestnut Festival, which has just been. And we actually make a South Indian pancake called a dosa with chestnuts. It's got a chestnut curry inside, which has got coconut, mustard seeds, curry leaves, ginger, and lots of chestnuts. And we peel about 20 kilos of these things every year for the chestnut festival. And our staff all come together to do it. It's a total nightmare. And everybody's asking us now, can we have this? Can we keep serving at our restaurants? But we don't because of how much time it takes. It's just something that we do for the Kalorama Chestnut Festival.
How are your hands? I just have this image of your fingertips at the end of it are just like red raw.
yeah. No, it's difficult. It really is. It does take a long time to do. And I just heard you speaking about packaged chestnuts and thinking, but we should get into that. But to be honest, it's a fun thing as well, and it brings our whole team together. I think it makes the food taste better as well. So.
Yeah, good on you, Billy. Yeah. It's kind of like, I guess, when families have the tradition. I've always been very jealous and want to go along to them of when families make passata. And
right.
It's a mission. Let's face facts. It's, you know, you need garbage bins full of tomatoes and you need all the relatives and all the people from the street to make it. But then, you know, you have passata for a year.
Yeah, you've got it all year, those bottles of sunshine in the back cupboard. But, yeah, you don't need to think of it as such a big project. With your chestnuts, you could buy, you know, a couple of handfuls, put them in the oven and just peel them, and it's really not that much hard work, and you get the delicious chestnuts.
I made roasted chestnut flour ground in a coffee grinder. Then I added 60/40 to mashed potato. It was lovely with duck.
With duck, so beautiful.
Look at you. You've just gone into this little food
dream. I've gone into
dream.
A different place, yeah. Look, chestnut flour is so versatile. It's obviously gluten-free. I've made some chestnut flour pancakes, which is a Tuscan-style pancake with just two ingredients, chestnut flour and water, and they are delicious. And because the chestnuts are so sweet, the pancakes are sweet without any sugar.
Artichokes are easy, Rochelle. Just boil them up and eat. Yum. All the outside bits are the soft bits, and then the heart is beautiful, and it's all the mess afterwards, but it is so yum to eat them. That's from May. And a caller has asked if, Danny, if you could please repeat how to cook chestnuts in a pan.
Okay. So, I mean, I would say apply the same theory to pan or oven. So if it's an oven, I'd put them on about 200 degrees, pan on a medium-high heat. Just score the chestnuts. You can experiment and see which way, you know, experiment some flat, some on the round side, some on the tip, some with a cross, some with a slit. See what you like the best. In an oven, probably about 20 minutes. In a pan, a little bit less, but would they be cooked all the way through? I prefer them in the oven, to be honest. Wait until you see the skin starting to peel back, and then wrap them in a tea towel, let them cool for a few minutes and peel them while they're hot. Don't let them cool down before you peel them.
And when do you know that you can pop your finger in and not be in a world of pain?
When you don't have pain. It's a bit of a suck it and see situation. But, yeah, pop a pointed knife through it just to make sure it's soft before you start trying to peel them.
Nothing like a little bit of danger in your food, really, is there? Chestnut soup, simple, good chicken stock, chestnut puree, creme fraiche and a big slog of brandy. Yum. That's from Judith in Elwood.
Yummy. And great with mushrooms as well. So, again, tying into these autumn flavours.
Is the chestnuts on your menu tonight at home, Danny?
I think there will be now.
Yeah, I know. It's got us. I'm going to try them. I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to buy some. I'm going to make them. I'm going to look. If it's while I'm watching the football, they will end up at the television. So maybe I'll do it while something else. I invite some friends around and we'll see how we go.
I think you'll go very, very well.
It's 3:30. Danny Valente, as always, thank you so much. People can go to your website if they'd like some recipes, some detail, some just general food inspiration. You know, we all get a bit stuck on our three dishes that we rotate every week after week. And then you go, you know what, I need something new.
Yep, I'm there.
What are your three? You know, that you do over and over, that you just sometimes you go, I can't do this anymore.
Well, I just put up a recipe for spaghetti bolognese because it's just always, if it's ever what's for dinner, spaghetti bolognese, it's always yay. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it's very tiring to be dragging people over the finish line with their dinner. Spag bowls there. I love roasted sweet potato. Maybe I'll turn it into a soup. Maybe I'll just do it with some sausages or something else grilled.
So when you make spag bowl and then you pop it in the freezer, like what's your supply? How many weeks of, you know, spag bowl, one a week, have you got in there?
I can tell you what I've got in there right now, which I was making a lasagna and I just kept one little one person emergency meal aside because I thought I'll just feel better in my life if I know that that's there.
Yeah, I freak out when my freezer's getting low and there's like, oh, there's only like two bolognese's left.
Yeah.
I start to get
freezer anxiety.
Freezer anxiety is a fair income thing. I get it far too often. As always, Danny Valente, thank you so much.